This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is feminist adult film director Nika Noel. Nika Noel is one of the most prolific writer-directors working in adult films today. She has been credited with innovating a new approach to capturing sex on film and influencing a generation of adult filmmakers and performers. Nika has created 6 successful studios in the last 5 years and is currently working on her 7th with her business partner, executive producer Jerry Anders of AEBN.net. She has now 4 studios simultaneously: Girl Candy Films, Hard Candy Films, Trans Romantic, and Rock Candy Films. So we have a lot to talk about. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Nika.
Thank you, Tristan. I'm really happy to be here.
So you started directing about 6.5 years ago for a really small, then unknown company. Then you went on to do these really successful lines, Sweetheart Video, Sweet Sinner, and Sweet Cinema with Mile High Media. How did you, though, come to direct porn in the first place?
I kind of just fell into it accidentally. It was never a plan of mine. I never knew anything about film. I was a writer. I was a journalist and also working as a paralegal. But I had been an exotic dancer, stripper, for a number of years. And when I left stripping, I missed the adult industry. I think you always kind of retain that part of yourself that only feels comfortable around other people in the adult industry, even if you transition out. And so I would write for some adult magazines. And then one of the articles that I had to write for Spread magazine was about the making of a fetish video. So I went and made a spanking video with Kelly Payne of Tantrum Trainers. And I really enjoyed it. And then I got offers to do other things, but I wasn't interested in doing, really hardcore porn. Like Red Light District contacted me and I was just like, oh,
well, that's not a good fit, Nika Noel, for Red Light District.
So once I told them that actually I was just a journalist that had been doing a story and I wasn't really in porn, but that I had liked it and would be interested in doing some more things along the same lines, like maybe with other women or just like little fetish things, they introduced me to this producer that was doing girl-girl movies. And I met him. He liked me, started shooting me a lot. And then he knew I was a writer, and he asked me if I would like to write a movie. And then he asked me if I wanted to direct it. And after I did that, he asked me if I wanted to take over the creative direction of the studio completely. So I decided I would go for it, and I quit my job as a paralegal, and that was how I got into porn.
That's kind of intense. I mean, it's a kind of intense trajectory. Like, okay, so are you interested? Okay, now you're taking over.
It was exactly like that, and it felt like falling down the rabbit hole, but I also had a strange sense of, for lack of a better word, destiny. Like, I felt like a pull to do it.
That this is, like, where you're meant to be.
And it was really weird because I had never, dreamt about it. I had never thought about it. I had never even wanted to, make a mainstream movie. It was just not something that I ever thought about. So,
now, you're known for your girl-girl movies. I mean, for me, I've seen a lot of them, and they're really good. And part of it is that there's obvious chemistry, really authentic sex. I mean, you're obviously casting women who love working with other women. I've read that you actually said you don't cast gay for pay actresses in your lesbian videos.
Try not to, but I think it's hard to say
one way or the other.
Yeah.
But it's pretty common in the LA industry for female performers to do kind of girl-girl scenes, even if it's not part of their sexual identity off screen. So how do you kind of vet actresses for what you're going for?
Well, it's a certain sensibility. It's kind of multidimensional in that even if the girl really likes to perform with other girls, if she doesn't quite have the sensibility that I'm looking for, which is it's hard to find a politically correct way to say this. Some girls, I guess, have like a hooker mentality. And
oh my God, we're 5 minutes in and we're at the hooker mentality. Okay, Nikki Noel, no one's going to be pissed off about that at all. Go ahead.
So they basically, they're there to make money, and they like the attention, and they like the lifestyle of being a porn star, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily, do the kind of connecting and the really, the kind of warmth and real passion that I'm looking for. More of an artistic sensibility toward their work, even if, you know, I'm not making artsy type movies, but the sensibility should be more coming from a place of like, I'm here because I really believe in what I'm doing, and I want to do this because it makes me feel good, not because I'm a party girl and I want to live the life and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So it's little things that you pick up on, just watching a performer, watching the way that they interact, what's important to them. If they're checking for their hair while they're performing, if they're
right.
if they look like they're posing in some way,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's an indication to me that they're preoccupied with the wrong things and they're not losing themselves in the scene.
And who are some of your favorite performers to direct?
Oh wow, gosh, there's so many over the years. My God, Stephanie Swift was one of the first.
Yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. That really just blew me away, where I was just kind of like, wow, some people are just really gifted at the sexual arts, you know, like the,
yeah, they're amazing sexual performers. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that is actually a skill. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And even more than, because there are the very skilled performers, and then there are the performers that have almost this otherworldly kind of like the, you know, the Joe DiMaggio's or the Babe Ruth's of porn, where it's just kind of like, wow, they're magical. It's like watching a, you know, a bullfighter or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's just some otherworldly quality to what they have. And she was one of the first where I said, wow, you know, there are people that are just really sort of divine when it comes to this. And Samantha Ryan was one of the early girls that I worked with that was just a very authentic, very very beautiful performer, very intense in a quiet way, in a very understated way. These days, gosh, some of the... I think I really prefer working with women that are a little bit older, that have more of a sense of their sexuality and maybe have really made a decision that this is what they want to do. They're here for the right reasons and they have an identity.
I agree with you. You know, I've always said I don't like to shoot anyone under 21, and I've really made few exceptions to that. Sasha Grey was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no doubt Sasha Grey came into the industry mature,
right.
head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
But it's partly because I think a lot of, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, they're still figuring out their bodies, their sexuality, their fantasies, their desires. And for some people, that's really hot, you know, the kind of initiation, the kind of barely legal fetish.
Right.
But for me, I'm much more interested in seeing people who are really sure of themselves and
right.
what they want.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is really a turn on.
Yeah. Magdalene St. Michaels is somebody that really fits that description. This is a woman that came to porn at age 50 and had never done anything in the adult industry
Amazing.
Before. She was like a theater actress, and there's nobody better, you know? I mean, there are other magnificent performers, but there's nobody better than her that I've seen in terms of the intensity and just being present in no vanity, no, you know, just completely loses herself in the scene. And it's something that that is a lot harder than people might think. to really do that, to really be that vulnerable.
Right.
You know, all your imperfections right there in high definition.
Oh,
you know?
And high definition especially.
Yeah. So there are, you know, but this is one of the sort of the ethical things, though, and you talking about that and about young performers. It's just kind of like sometimes you will get that young performer that, you know, you almost wonder, maybe they're 19 or 20. There was one girl in particular where I was like, you know, I'm not sure if she really wants to be in porn, or she was very shy. She was with her boyfriend. We were going to shoot a scene with her. I had the feeling she was being sort of controlled by her boyfriend, but it's kind of like, what can you say? You know, I want to sit you guys down and kind of...
And if someone says to you, I want to be here,
right.
I'm doing this of my... How do you gauge? Yeah.
It was, you know, that was a tough call, because there was the producer part of me going, this is going to be amazing, because she's got naturally this nervousness and this kind of like hesitancy and this innocence. It's going to be perfect for the scene, because she was supposed to be, this was her first time with an older woman, and, you know, it was going to be her first time with an older woman,
right.
or with any woman.
Right.
So that was one of those times where I sort of felt like, probably how lawyers feel from time to time, where you just stop and you go, I'm not sure that, you know, I shouldn't be, I don't know, asking her if she really wants to be doing this, but then it's sort of none of my business. And, you know, if somebody's of legal age.
Right.
So there are times, you know, that with the younger girls, I sort of wonder, like, you know, I'd probably...
Do they know what they're getting themselves into? I always feel like, have you thought this through? Because everyone you don't want to see this movie is going to see this movie.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. It's guaranteed that, like, the one uncle that you're like, oh, but he doesn't even know how to work the internet. It's like, oh, no, that dude, he's seen it twice.
Especially that one person that you're like, I don't care about anybody seeing it except
this my grandma.
One person,
yeah, and then your grandma's totally like...
That'll be the only person.
A member of Brazzers or something. I mean, I don't know whose grandma, but there's some grandma.
You never know.
So the internet has really changed the industry a lot. We've heard a lot about that. And one of the big moves I feel like you made is that you partnered up with ABN.
Right.
And that's really your primary distributor. They're executive producing and distributing your product.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering how that came about. And also, are you shooting just now digital content, or
no.
are there some DVDs?
Oh, yeah. There are DVDs for everything.
Okay.
I'm essentially doing exactly what I was doing with Mile High. Mm-hmm. I'm doing, you know, at least four releases a month. And they go to VOD first. That's the difference, is that, you know, home is ABN. So ABN gets the movies first. And then they, pretty quickly afterwards, now that we have our DVD distributor in place, it goes to DVD as well. So so I do have both, and then all the other, you know, cable deals or whatever, all those things that we had with Mile High, same deal here.
And how do you produce four movies a month? I can barely get four out in a year. Seriously.
Well, you're like traveling all over. I'm staying in my little room typing.
Editing. No, really, that's a lot, though. That's a lot for anyone.
It's a lot. And, you know, it's, again, it's just one of those things that it's very weird. It's almost like when I started doing this, it's like as if you got behind the controls of a plane for the first time and said, oh, I know how to fly this. Like, the scripts just came. I never get writer's block. As soon as I start directing, and I'm by no means like, oh, it's so brilliant, but I can get it done. It's functional, and I have a very strong philosophy about what I want, what I want to see, where I want the camera, all those things. During the sex scene, during the dialogue, I kind of take a lot of advice from the people that know more about cinematography than I do, because I don't know how to set up a shot for dialogue, but I know what I want to see for the sex, and that to me is the most important part of the movie.
Okay, so I want to hear more about this philosophy, but first we've got to take a break to hear from our sponsors. More Sex Out Loud with Nika Noel when we return.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with Nika Noel, a wonderful director, producer, writer of porn films. Now, you talked before the break about your personal philosophy around shooting these scenes. Tell me more about that.
Well, not being a film student, I don't know a lot about, you know, how to set up sort of cinematic shots or what have you, but I know the feeling that I want to create during the sex scenes, which is essentially that I want the viewer to feel that they are on the bed with the couple and they've just turned over to look at all of this happening. So I try to keep the camera like mattress level, fill the screen with the bodies. I don't have super wide shots. And you know, I try to keep. I don't do anything artsy with the camera work. I never want the cameraman or me to intrude in any way on what the viewer is seeing, because I don't know. I just feel like it's less of an authentic experience if you're reminded, like, if you go, oh, that's a really pretty shot, or.
Right, you're taken out of it. You're taken out of it all of a sudden.
Yeah. That, which is why I don't like the 5D camera at all, and I won't use it for sex scenes, even though everybody likes it, and that's like the cinematic camera that everybody's gone to. I just feel like that's one of the reasons why I won't use that. And I use cameras where, you know, it's not going to blur out. I take out any zooms. I take out any, you know, it's got to be like your eye watching this. And that's basically a sort of like the blue collar method of trying to figure out how I wanted to shoot. I would pretend my eyes were cameras and I would like just pay attention. How are my eyes looking at something? I would just do that at home.
It's a real naturalistic approach.
Yeah. And eye level, if you were on the bed with the performers. I mean, sometimes we will go above the bed to get a shot that you know, you just can't see the action from anywhere else, but we try to keep it within the realm of like, okay, well, if the person was standing up next to the bed and just looking down, I never want it to be a type of situation where the viewer is suddenly aware that they're seeing everything through a camera. So.
And one of your lines is this new rock candy line, mm-hmm. which is a gay male line.
Yes.
There aren't that many women who've directed gay male lines in porn. I think that you could probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering what it's like. You're not a gay man. And I don't think
inside.
You... Inside. Oh, okay. You identify as a gay man inside. But so if you're not a gay man, I'm wondering what that's like to what rapport you have with your performers and how your vision maybe shifts when you're working on that particular line of films.
It hasn't shifted in any kind of significant way. I just feel like what I'm doing is dealing with human beings, and all human beings like to see other human beings having sex, and you want to see, as far as I know, it's sort of throughout all genres and sexualities that people want to see sex that looks like the people are having fun and they like each other and it's passionate, and they want to see that type of body language and eye contact, that adds something to it. So when I first was talking about doing this, I was getting the same sort of feedback and warnings that I was getting when I wanted to go into doing boy girl, which is like, well, you know, it's not like doing girl girl, and you can't do what you were doing when you do this, because this is different. And you know, when I started doing boy girl, I was just like, well, I don't have anything to lose, and they're letting me try it. So, but I heard a lot of that, you know, well, you have to shoot the scene on couches, and you can't, you know, you've got to.
Oh God, the couches. Yes. I know. People are constantly like, I'm constantly looking for locations with beds. They're like, we have porn shooting at our house. We don't have any beds.
Yeah.
People don't know that like no one wants to shoot on a bed, but I always want to shoot on a bed. I'm like, if you have a four bedroom house, how could you only have one bed?
They're
like, oh, because we've converted all the other rooms to living room sets.
We put couches in them.
Drives me insane.
And so, and it was the same thing with gay. You know, the gay men aren't going to want to see this, but I went on the forums, some of the gay forums. I was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Do you guys want to see something like this? And I got a lot of positive feedback. And then working with the performers, my first movie, For Rock Candy, is a period piece. It takes place during the 30s. And so the reason why I did that is because, you know, sort of repression and conflict and forbidden themes are sort of the corner piece of what I do. I like everybody to be struggling internally with their desires. And so...
And man, were gay men struggling in the 30s.
I figured, you know,
externally, like, and internally, probably.
Exactly.
In terms of the way society thought. Yeah.
I just thought that'll be, you know, a period piece will really drive that repression home, make it a lot more believable, because nowadays... I mean, people can still struggle with it, but it's kind of like, well, it's okay to come out of the closet nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the end of the world. So so I thought that would add an extra layer of kind of conflict and repression and just kind of having to live this lie. And so I got to dress up the boys and set it in a boys' school in England. And the main character gets sent home because he was having a tryst with another boy in a storage area. So he's home on suspension, but they're keeping it hush-hush why he's been suspended. And he comes home and he meets his mother's new boyfriend. And they have an immediate attraction for each other. So that's kind of the...
Okay, so this brings me to another question, which is that cheating... is a major theme in your movies.
Yeah.
People are thinking about cheating.
Right.
Cheating, falling in love with the people they cheat with,
right.
Cheating and then going back to their original lover. Cheating, cheating, cheating. Why cheating?
Well, I think that it's sort of like we all have those moments in our lives where it crosses our mind that maybe we want to do something wrong, or we're attracted to somebody that we really shouldn't be attracted to. We're not going to act on it, but there's that moment that we want to. Or
like your mother's boyfriend or whatever.
Like any
of
those movies.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the one you just said.
If you add the family layer to it, too. I mean, like, I'm always looking for how many layers of conflict can I possibly add? You know? Age discrepancy. Plus, it's your daughter's boyfriend. This is just like so many kinds of
wrong. Taboos and forbidden lust and right.
Because if I do that, then you know it's more believable that somebody would really be struggling with this and having a lot of inner conflict, and really, you know, then it makes it more exciting because it's like you see that person really struggling with their lust, and everybody knows that once you're told, well, you're not allowed to be attracted to this person, or you know, this is so many different kinds of wrong, that makes it a little bit, right? You know, it's the forbidden fruit thing. And I think that's just one of those themes that human beings struggle with. It's part of the human condition, you know, what I should do and what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And So I think that it's a good thing to explore.
Now, I'm just wondering, you've got these gay films, you've got these boy-girl films, girl-girl films, the trans films, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And you're a working mom also.
Yeah.
How do you balance all of this stuff? How do you do it?
Well, I shoot probably about 8 to 10 days a month. And my son is 14, so he's not, you know, in daycare or something. So that makes it easier. Other than that, I work a lot. I work at home. I write the movies. I supervise all of the editing. I choose the music. I have a hand in everything, every step of the way. I write the copy for the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Press releases sometimes. So I'm always working and thinking about it.
And do you consider your films romantic?
Yeah, very. I do.
And is that a strength for you? Because I think sometimes, there's this idea of women-directed porn as being like softer and gentler, and there's rose petals, and there's love, and there's gifts, and there's...
No, that's not what I'm into. In fact, I feel like, you know, so many studios rush to do the romance thing when they saw that,
yes,
you know...
Yes, I mean, several studios have now started their own romance lines.
Yeah, and they're not doing that well because they've got it all wrong. In my opinion, that's not why people are watching. You know, it looks like couples porn, and it, you know, it's got those elements, and it's got a lot of emotional content, but it's not just about, you know, taking two people and making them look pretty and soft and having, you know, a lot of kissing going on. I mean, they've got to look really hungry. They've got to really be grabbing each other. There's got to be emotional stuff going on. And when I don't know about other people, but when I see a movie about, you know, two young, attractive people that have every right to be together, and there's no reason why they shouldn't get together and have sex, and it's just, you know, cute, hip dialogue, or I have no interest in watching them have sex. Maybe I want to see them on a sitcom, but...
So you want tension. You want barriers to sort of break through.
I think people need to understand what porn is for. What, you know, it's not... Everyone's so preoccupied. A lot of directors, a lot of studios with, let's make it look mainstream. You know, let's do a mainstream movie and just put sex in it. That's not... There are mainstream movies. We're making porn. So that means everything's got to support the sex. And the sex has to be the star of the movie. So if your sex scene falls flat, then you don't have anything.
Okay, let's talk some more about sex being the star of the movie. But first, we're going to take a break and hear from our fabulous sponsors, including The Smitten Kitten. The Smitten Kitten is a sex toy store for everybody. Visit them at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking with female porn director, producer, writer, studio head, Nika Noel. And before the break, you said you want sex to be the main character in your films. I'm wondering, how do you direct people? You conjured this image up of people being really hungry and sort of desperate and really intensely wanting each other. How do you direct that kind of sexual desire? How do you get that out of your performers?
Well, when I can, I work with performers that I know can deliver that and like that idea and prefer performing that way. But there are the times that maybe you're trying somebody new, or the pairing that you have just doesn't have the chemistry that they expected, that I expected. You know, so many different things can happen, especially when you're doing as many scenes as I'm doing every month. So I don't have any problem doing call-ins and directing the hell out of a sex scene. I'm not going to let the sex scene fail. So if it does fail, it won't be for lack of my trying. And so
are there some scenes where you have a sort of heavier hand? And are there some people you work with where you're like, sit back and watch?
Oh, yeah. There are the people that that just do everything right. You know, Evan Stone.
I know.
I never have to say a word. You know, he just gets it, and he loves the way we shoot, and he can do it, and he's, you know, he's fantastic. And so
I agree about Evan Stone, and he's lovely to have on set. I mean, he's just,
he's,
you
great.
Know, it's like you're working with Evan today. It's going to be a good day.
You're going to be happy and laughing.
Yes, you're going to be satisfied.
Yeah, and you're going to have great BTS.
Yes, of course.
And Magdalene St. Michael, someone I was mentioning before, always a great scene. I know that she will just, you know, make it happen. But then there are the times that, you know, maybe it's somebody that's a decent performer and they do a pretty good job, but they're easily thrown off by someone else who's not that great, you know? And so maybe I'm putting them with someone who just isn't at the top of their game that day, or it's a new performer or something along those lines, and we'll start to see them struggle or revert into what I call, you know, porn behaviors.
Right.
And then I have to start doing call-ins, and I will do them, and I will talk through the whole entire scene if I have to. I hate to say that, but I'm not going to lie and say that, you know, 100% of the time we just capture true passion. Of course, you're going to have those times where
it's work,
where it doesn't work out, and you've got to, you know, you've got to really make sure that you're ready to direct. And that was hard for me in the beginning with the guys, because I felt really weird telling the guys what to do when I first started shooting boy-girl, you know, but...
Don't hold her like that, or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, are they going to feel, like, castrated? You know, like, I just had a lot of, like, weirdness and neuroses about telling men how to have sex.
Yeah,
but
some of them need to be told, actually. It's true.
Well, they all needed to be told when I started directing, because they were used to doing things for the camera rather than for their partner.
So showing it, pulling back, being in weird
arms
positions,
behind their back.
Arms behind their back, being silent. Yes, all these.
Looking around the room because they're.
They don't think they're on camera.
They don't think
totally
they're.
Happens
well, they
to
weren't
me.
On camera for, you know.
For everyone else's shoot, but they're on camera. It's like I can see your face. Stop making that face.
Yeah. That was a big surprise to me when I was, you know, just as a woman observing this. I'm like, so guys can have sex and just look like they're, you know, thinking about, you know, like shopping or whatever.
But they're not used to having the camera on them. And some of them, when you point the camera at them, obviously, Evan Stone, you point the camera at him, he comes alive. But some of them had to get used to it. I mean, have you had that experience where they felt like, ooh, I'm kind of freaked out that the attention is on me, because I'm used to it not being on me.
They felt self-conscious about the fact that they weren't really sure that they understood what I was asking for, because nobody, I guess, had been asking for that. So you know, they would go, well, like I talked to a couple of them after scenes and they would be like, well, I know you said not to open up, but I assume you meant to open up somewhat.
Right.
You know,
no,
like,
don't open up at all. Right.
So they were kind of having trouble, you know, gauging. So that inhibited them a little bit at the beginning, just kind of like, what could she possibly mean? Just have sex like I'm having sex at home. And then there'd be the guys that are like, well, I do reverse cowgirl at home. Well, I do pile driver at home. And it's like, okay, well, then don't have sex like you're having sex at home. I'll just tell you how to have sex.
Where do you live? Okay. One of your lines is called trans romantic, and it is feature storyline based porn that features trans women performers.
Right.
And I'm just blown away by this. I've got to say, I am blown away. First of all, that no one's ever thought of this, but also in the way that you've approached this. I feel like, first of all, within the genre of trans women, there's a lot of kind of chicks with dicks and really offensive language to a lot of trans women and other people. And there's also a fetishizing and also a kind of like, ooh, look what she's got in her pants kind of thing. You know, and there's right. always this kind of surprise and there's a freak factor and a lot of it is really bad.
Right.
But as I watch some of yours, I'm struck that there was a scene that I watched where the woman in it was nervous about having sex with her boyfriend, the guy playing her boyfriend, and we didn't really know why as the viewer. Well, we knew, but he didn't know why. And then she sort of led his hand to her crotch, and his response was to kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had sex. And it's just a whole reframing of how trans women are portrayed as desirable, as not freakish, as hot, as sexy. Tell me about just how you conceived this line and some of what you want to accomplish with it.
Well, some of it comes from just my own personal experience. My brother dated a couple of TS girls, and it was funny because you know, my little scenario with Amy Daly and Christian was a little bit inspired by my real life, in the sense that my brother told my mom and my stepdad and me that he was bringing home his new girlfriend for Thanksgiving, and that, you know, she was trans. And I had never met a trans female before, and so I was just sort of, we were like, what's this going to be like? You know, like, it was very sort of like, oh, this is, you
and
know,
it, oh,
this
these
is different.
Things, by the way, always happen at Thanksgiving. Always. The
really?
Big issues always,
it's
yeah, people come out as gay, people bring their trans girlfriends home. I mean, yeah, it's always happening at Thanksgiving. It's a funny movie right in there. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, he brought her home, first of all, you know, gorgeous as anything, but in a very natural way, you know, and so there was no sort of like, it was just, she was a woman, and I immediately bonded with her. We were talking, and it just struck me at the end of the night, like, I just feel like I met my brother's girlfriend. Like, I just, it doesn't matter, like, mm-hmm. The idea that I was ever sort of like, oh, you know, like, he's bringing home his trans girlfriend, it was just so weird to me after I met her and hung out with her that I would think of her as anything but a woman. And one of the things that that bothers me about porn in general is just that, you know, we make fun of ourselves and of each other and of people's sexuality, and I feel like this is the one place where we shouldn't be doing that, where we should be introducing people to different types of sexuality in a way that's respectful. But instead, we're turning ourselves into jokes, turning other people into jokes, and then...
And especially people who have non-normative sexual desires or fetishes, and people who have non-normative genders.
Right.
I feel like they are the butt...
And race.
And I feel like they are the butt of jokes, and that's why the way that you've sort of transformed this narrative of romance and love that just happens to star trans women is fantastic.
Well, I also, you know, I have to be mindful of the fact, if I want these things to succeed too, you have to be mindful of the fact that people often in porn, not in, when they're watching porn in their fantasies, they sort of have these archetypes in mind, you know, like the gangster black guy that they're going to have. Do you know what I mean? People are lame in a lot of ways when it comes to their sexual fantasies, and they think in stereotypes and they want to see stereotypes, and that's sort of like the porn industry plays into that. And
yes.
Then, you know, and it's just, it just becomes worse and worse, and it snowballs until people think there's no other way to do it. But at the same time, if you come out like gangbusters doing something that nobody is ready for, you can just fail, you know, and your good idea and your noble idea or whatever it is you're trying to do, is people will then use that as the cautionary tale. You see, we have to keep making fun of these people because it's the only thing people want to see. So I made sure that I kept certain elements in the movie, which was essentially the feeling, because it occurred to me that probably what a lot of straight men look for.
Because that, the other thing I have got to interject here is, the major market for trans women porn, and especially trans women with dicks, is straight men.
Straight men.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
That's who you're speaking to. That's your
base. I'm speaking to. Exactly. And I think that a lot of the fantasy for straight men, I don't know this for sure, but this is sort of what I'm gathering by looking to see what kind of scenarios there are in trans movies, are, you know, that they don't, they're taken by surprise by the fact that, you know, well, I just found myself in bed with this woman, this beautiful woman, and she just happened to
have a dick.
So what was I going
to
do?
What was I supposed to do?
You know, that kind of, it's almost like a rape fantasy for women, where it's like you don't have to take responsibility for it if you've been raped, and, you know, you can fantasize about it all you want.
I was there, and so I just had to,
Yeah, it's just one of those things with
giving
sexuality.
These straight men sort of permission to have these other desires. Yeah.
So I wanted to keep that element in a little bit. It's not in all the scenes, but it is in the scene that you're talking about with Christian and Amy, where it's kind of like, you know, he reaches down and he feels her her underwear. It's not what he expected, except that in the movie, and I guess nobody caught on to this, but in an earlier scene in the movie, when he gets off the phone with her, I have him stare into the mirror for a long time, and his smile kind of fades, and that's supposed to, in retrospect, tip off the audience to the fact that he already knows.
Ah.
So, because I wanted to get that in there. It's just kind of like, it wasn't really a surprise, but I'm keeping it like it's technically a surprise.
Right.
But in my mind, he already knew.
He figured it out, and he was
already
fine.
Knew.
Right.
Well, that's why he likes her for that reason. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I was going for, but I'm like, I'm just going to slip it in there, and I'm going to keep the forbidden thing and the surprise element. And now everybody's happy.
Okay, so we've got to take another break on that note of forbidden lust. And we're going to hear from our great sponsors, including Astroglide. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Go to astroglide.com and get a free sample. More Sex Out Loud when we come back. Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We have been talking with Nika Noel, who is a fantastic adult film director, producer, writer, every woman. She does everything. She does the editing. She does the marketing. And we are talking about this new line of yours, Trans Romantic. And I'm wondering how it's been received by fans. Because the other thing about you is, because you do films in all these different genres, you must have a diverse fan base.
Yeah, I guess it's getting more diverse. I think I play more to a sensibility than a gender or a, you know, it's people that just really want to see passionate, you know, emotionally based interaction, sexual interactions. So, I had, you know, I used to get emails from gay men that would watch my straight stuff, and that was my first inkling that maybe, you know, I could go into the gay genre, which I always wanted to do, and that was part of the reason why I was really happy to move on with AABN, because they told me they would let me do that they would let me do trans and they would let me do gay. So that was a big selling point for me. There are fans all across the board, and just seeing how the fans are responding. I really think this is like the age of the fan, where they just have a very loud voice through the internet.
And do you interact with them on a pretty regular basis?
All the time. Every day.
And so what is that like for you? I mean, do you get feedback? Does it affect mm-hmm. what you shoot? Tell me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listen to them. I think in porn, there's a tendency to look at the other guy's paper, like, what's the studio doing? Oh, they're doing this now. We better do that. They must know something we don't know. It's just like the fans are right there. Talk to the fans. What are they frustrated about? What can't they find? What do they like? What don't? They're right there. We can talk to them. They're the source to go to. You know, but you have to have a philosophy of your own. You have to have something that you're bringing to the table, or you'll just be getting a million different voices. You know, within what I do, it's funny, you start to see that people really aren't that different. People that have, you know, like when I first started going to the girl fan forums, I was surprised to see that there were so many people that had the exact same preferences that I did when it came to girl porn scenes. You know, and I was just like, wow, humans are just kind of alike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you do see that. People that appreciate what I'm doing, they tend to have the same types of complaints, the same types of suggestions. You'll hear them over and over again. And if I'm starting to hear a complaint a lot about a certain thing, then I'll adjust.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take steps so that I can give them more of what they need, take away things that they're complaining about, add things that they really like. So,
you know, the straight industry and the gay male industry are so separate mm-hmm. in our world. It's actually quite strange and bizarre. It's like we're operating in two different, you know, universes. So I'm wondering how that's been for you in terms of just getting to know talent and navigating your way into this male-dominated, but for you know, obvious reasons, male-dominated gay male porn industry. You're like popping in there, hey, I'm Nika. So, you want to make a movie?
It's great. It's great.
I mean, have you been welcomed with open arms? And
yeah, same with the trans community, which first wanted to know, well, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I shared what my plans were, and then they were all about it. And you know, I was warned that you know, well, it's going to be difficult to work with, you know, they're very dramatic and just hear all kinds of things. It's been a wonderful experience. I really bonded with all the performers. And in fact, Brittany St. Jordan from, she was in my first, The Forbidden Lovers, I think is the name of my first trans romantic, and she is now doing stills for me.
Oh.
We hang out and everything, and so it's, I just clicked with, you know, Boston Miles, who starred in my first gay movie for Rock Candy. We're just so glad. I want to adopt him and his partner. Just instant bonding. I actually feel a lot more at home. If I could just shoot gay and trans, I'd be fine.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I'm comfortable and happy doing that. So those would definitely be the two studios that I would want to give up the least. So
I'm wondering how shooting porn and doing so much of it and such a diverse lineup has affected your own sexuality.
It's interesting. I think there are two ways it can go. You can either become like very compulsive about sex, and kind of, I see that happen a lot with people. They just get very promiscuous, and it's, you go over to another performer's house, or, you know, you socialize and it's just a given that you're going to play, or you're going to, you know, swingers. And so you can go that way where it's just kind of like nonstop sexuality and acting out. The way that I've gone, I think, is the opposite way, which is it really forced me to think about what sex means. And, you know, I didn't want to do the staring too long into the abyss thing. So I've tried to be really reflective about it. And I think it's made me less promiscuous and sort of more inclined to, like, really make sure that my sexual experiences are meaningful. So I think it's actually had a good effect on me in a way.
That's fascinating. That's, yeah. And it's so it's... You've become more discerning.
I think so, yeah. I think because when it's so easy, when it's around you all the time, mm-hmm. and people are just sort of throwing it at you all the time,
right?
And it's meaningless, and you really start to think about it. The novelty of it wears off, and then you start to give real thought to what sex means and what you want it to mean to you, and, you know, all of those things, and how to sort of preserve that in yourself so that it continues to mean something and it doesn't become a compulsion.
So we have a tradition at Sex Out Loud, which is that we ask the same question of all of our guests. Are you ready?
I don't know.
Nika Noel, to you, what is sexy?
Oh, okay. I really like period costumes, you know, like, oh boy, like turn of the century, Victorian, like men's clothes. Yeah.
What else? Turn of the century, men's clothes. That's,
yeah.
That's funny. No one said that yet.
Oh, good. So
yeah, no.
I'm unique. Mm-hmm. What else? Let's see. The rain. Yeah, rain, weather. Yeah, just simple things like that, I guess. You know, nothing over the top.
Which is interesting because you concoct these very elaborate scenarios in some of your scripts.
Well, actually, I think for the most part, they are more like a slice of life only gone awry, kind of. They usually take place in people's families and people's homes. And it's just like, you know, your daughter brings home her boyfriend and maybe you notice that he's attractive. And in my movie, we take it further. But everybody's had that experience where they had that moment and maybe they just passed right on through it and never thought of it again. But everybody can relate to those moments where they go, what if? And so that's what I try to expand in my movies. But I try to keep it so that everybody can relate to it.
Well, I think a lot of people can relate to it given your success. Thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Nika.
Thank you, Tristan. It's an honor.
Nika Noel's current projects include the films Lesbian Guidance Counselor No. 2 and Lesbian One Night Stand for Girl Candy Films at girlcandyfilms.com, A Mother's Love No. 2 at hardcandyfilms.com, Trans Romantic Forbidden Lovers, transromantic.com, and the upcoming His Mother's Lover from her gay studio, Rock Candy Films, rockcandyfilms.com. All of her recent films are available on abn.net. Follow her on Twitter at brainjunk. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Tune in next week for another edition of Sex Out Loud. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.